I'm talking about a type of fear that just grips you, and it just eats you. That type of fear, and then maybe it becomes a part of you. You know, you ever heard the term, like, you can say that this person is a fearful person, and it becomes now a part of who you are, and if we're not careful. Have you ever been, like, really afraid? I think that fear is can be very, what we call, debilitating, meaning it can paralyze you. Fear paralyzes, right? Sometimes, if you ever listen to, heard a story or what have you, you know, we're in the Ghana embassy and they had CNN on, they were showing some footage of some crazy things. I had to stop looking at things, these stories, to sensationalize. Because it can paralyze you, can make you not go forward. I was thinking of what it would be if I was in government and every day I went home, the world was always just about to end. Because if you listen to these news, it literally, how would we ever go on? The world is always, if you worked in D.C., especially in the State Department, if you work in another department, let's just say you work in Commerce or you work in, board where interest rates, you know, they study the economy. And it's almost always bad news, right? So, I mean, you could, like, if I wonder what their home life without God could be like. You're in a constant state of bad news. If you work in the State Department, you're in a constant state of, hey, their nuclear warheads are now aimed at this particular nation, which will set off a response from this particular nation, who then will respond by sending them to us, so the world is about to end. And if you really follow this news, it can put you in a constant state of fear, and it can paralyze you. But what, one of the scenes I was thinking about is that maybe you would hear of a story of someone being attacked, and you say to yourself, or I say to myself, well, why didn't they fight back? And honestly, it's mainly because the fear it can be paralyzing. Your muscles can't move. I had a college roommate once, and every time that you would scare her, if you scared her, she would immediately drop to the ground and paralyzed, literally. And so sometimes people thought it was fun at times, and then, you know, but literally, and I never did it, but I just thought, that's wild. If you scared her, she would lose all power over her body. That's a hard place to be in. Fear is interesting, and I was thinking about it, particularly with Jacob. Jacob wasn't, you know, he had had an interesting life so far, and one of the things, he had done something to someone, so it was such that he knew there would one day be, if you will, a reckoning. What do we know, and I was thinking about that word earlier tonight. Reckoning. I'm just going to read you the definition of that. It's the act of counting something. It's the itemized bill or statement of a sum due, to settle an account. So basically, a reckoning, in one sense, is like, I'm going to settle an account. A reckoning means, of all of my bad deeds, they're going to come to a point, it's going to settle that account. So there's a reckoning. He did something to his brother. He stole something. Now, it doesn't matter that his brother really didn't seem to want it, and we got that picture, but he stole something. And years would go by, and he was not going to see his brother, but one day, there was going to be a reckoning. And in Genesis 32, that reckoning comes. Jacob hears that Esau's coming. And fear grips his heart. Just a couple of things just to say about that. He has this plan. And his plan is very detailed of what he could do. You know, And so he commanded his people, he sent them in verse, if you can read this chapter, I won't go through it. If you get to read this chapter, it begins in verse 3 of sending messengers to Esau's brother. And tell him this, that I have all of these things. I have oxen and asses, and I have flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to my Lord that I might find grace in his sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother and he's coming to meet you, and 400 men with him. Now there's a reckoning. He's coming. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camel into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and kills them, then the other company will escape. Okay? So he starts getting his plan going. And in this plan, he crawls out to God, please, God, you promised me something. Deliver me. And on it goes. First he sends out a present, 200 she-goats and 20 and 200 ewes and 30 camels. And he gives them to his servant. He kept sending people out, things out a little at a time. A little at a time. So he said, when you get to my brother in verse 17, and he asks you, who are you? And you, where are you going? They said, these be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present to you, Esau. And he's behind us. So you're scared. So you start sending a present. I'm scared of Brigida. I did something to her. And I find out, I want to feel her out. So I send Rachel to just feel her out. And how's things? Well, Natasha's, I'm going to go see her. I'm going to go see her myself. Now I freak out. And I heard that she's coming over to see me. And so I wait before she comes over. And then I send someone ahead. Hey, there's a present for you from Natasha. And she opens it, she keeps coming. And I send another present. And I send another present. But I'm freaked out. Because why? There's a reckoning. There are things that I've done. And honestly, I'd have to say, if I'm really honest, I could have the sense of a reckoning coming every day of my life. Because my sins can be ever before me if I'm not careful. I could be thinking about all that I have failed God in, all the promises I've broken, and he should come at me a certain way. And fear can grip me. Or I can just have an unexplainable fear that just is gripping me, and unresolved conflict. And sometimes it takes some time to figure out, where does that come from? Where is it coming from? I can lose years over it. Maybe I can have something where unexplainable, why is there tension between me and this person? But it could possibly not be related to them at all. But fear in another area causes me to be tense toward another person. Now, honestly, this could be a whole series, but all I want to say tonight is that ultimately, long story short, God used it. God used Jacob's fear for Esau so that he could meet him. That's it. It's not really, sometimes you and I want to get up and we want to kind of put our X's and O's on the board. I did this, so I deserve this. I didn't do this, so I might get this. Why did that happen to me? There are people today angry at God because they say, why did he let that happen to me? And we can live in fear based upon what we think, how we messed up. We can live in fear. Fear usually grips because there's something that we believe is coming our way that we can't handle, or that we potentially deserve or maybe don't deserve. But in this case, Jacob knew he deserved whatever was coming at him, but he didn't want it to happen. And God used that. You know, God used it because toward the end of this little story, Jacob's left alone. God did that. Sometimes fear can make me feel alone. And that's not always a bad thing. Because maybe I've crowded my life with too many things or too many people. And guess how many people is too many? Just one. Only one person in front of me, crowding me, and kind of blocking my view of God is too much, is too many. Just only takes one. One person, one, whoever it is, relative, relation, whatever, co-worker, family, whatever you want to call it, okay? Anyone that can block my view, it's kind of like, it doesn't take much to block my view. Even like little Kellen, right? If I'm laying down and the sun's there, oh, stand right there. You block my view of the sun. So God may orchestrate things so that I feel very much separated, isolated, let's call it. And then when I am feeling that, it will cause me to be available to him. And he is not coming to hurt me. He's coming to meet me. And in the end, Jacob meets God. He meets the angel, and it's personal. He wrestles with him. It's not a pretty meeting. It's okay to not have a pretty meeting with God. He's wrestling. But at the end of it, God blesses him. Now, what is blessing? It's a good point. It's a great definition. Blessing is not related to anything that you and I do. It is conferred upon me. It is a gift to me. It's not based upon, well, God has blessed you. Because otherwise we would say God has rewarded you. That speaks of earning. But we would say, rather, sometimes God bless you. Not God reward you. God bless you. God put favor on you. God bestow something. In the end, Jacob is blessed by God, not rewarded. He's blessed because God loves him. He's blessed. He's loved. He's honored. But the path there isn't pretty. We need sometimes not to have a pretty path, because you know why? In short, and I'm going to end really soon, we need not to have a pretty path because we're pretty good at making a pretty good mess of things and of our lives. So sometimes the path to the blessing of God, the path to the attention of God, and I will tell you this, Jacob more appreciated the attention of God. And it's interesting. We need that sometimes. Because we can make a really bad mess of things. But he is good to us. So it's possible, maybe you're getting to the end of this year, and I don't know. And you look at your year, and maybe in your mind there are things that you could be afraid of. Things that you screwed up in. Things that you wish that you had been better at. It's possible you could look at the end of this year and you could wish a lot of things. Or maybe it's an okay year, but you don't know why, but there's an unsettled feeling and you're fearful for the next year. Maybe you wonder how much longer can you afford to be like fill in the blank in an area. How much longer can you be lacking in an area? How much longer can you not have something, not be something? And maybe there's fear. I just know that the one thing, you know, that Paul gives us as a New Testament look at fear, he says, listen, perfect love, it gets rid of fear. Jacob's fear of Esau is completely replaced at the end of this, and by wrestling with God and being blessed. And so that when he meets his brother, it's okay. He's okay. When he meets him, this is interesting, and I want to, and I'll close with this. And that is, as soon as this person stops calling me for this verse. How come I don't have, oh my God, this would be like a decline. Okay. All right, so finally he meets them. But before he meets him, he says, he called the place name Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. To see God face to face is so much more important. But when he sees Esau, and it wasn't even what he thought, Esau embraced him. And he literally says to him, I have to find that. Okay, yeah. In chapter 33, verse 10, he said, Jacob said, he's talking to Esau, if I have now found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. And thou wast pleased with me. Like the whole thing was changed. This whole idea of this fear, this reckoning, whatever, he is able to look Esau in the face and see the face of God. And I'm just saying that there is a lot that fear is definitely Satan's tool, but so often it can also be God's errand boy to lead me to an encounter with him that will bless me and allow me to see the face of God. And those things that are there in our lives, we live in a very interesting time period, and we are in interesting places in our lives. And to say that there isn't fear, I don't think you'd be telling me the truth. But to be able to say this, and this would be amazing, that fear, it wants to own me, but God is in the business of using it for his glory to bring me to him, so that in a new way, and this is what happened to Jacob, like never before, he would see God. And in fact, even in this scripture, his name is changed then. His name is changed from Jacob to the name Israel. Things changed. And he is blessed by God. And he has power with him. So, that fear, although it's there, let us let God do his business. All the plans of Jacob didn't like affect Esau. All of his trying to fix the situation. The bottom line is that God had business with Jacob. And that's all God cared about. God had business with Jacob. Amen?
Amen.